Test, test. Okay, so another freaking podcast. So
I wanted to talk about AI. So I was listening to this podcast. It's on Econ Talk. I mean, I guess it's a really popular podcast, so you probably have heard of it. If not, you know, it's a popular podcast. And it's about, I mean, I guess it's about econ stuff, but not really. It's more about, like, sometimes they talk about seemingly philosophical stuff, I guess. And I guess some, obviously, econ stuff. But yeah, sometimes it's a little interesting. This one I was listening to, it's really interesting, especially because I'm going to say I predicted. I mean, I didn't predict, but, like, you know, I was kind of on point with my talk about the AI that one podcast ago. I don't know when it was, but, you know, I was talking. I gave a lot of examples of what are the outcomes and what would happen. And then what do you know? ChatGPT comes out, and a lot of the things I predicted or I pointed out are coming true. Not all the way yet, luckily, because, you know, it's still a, what do you call, a corporatized kind of entity, I guess. Like, it's not as intense as I would like it to be, I should say. And I, you know, people are, I don't know, stuff are just, you know, they keep on, I mean, you already know this, but they keep on playing it safe. Like, they're scared to have people actually experience it in a organic way. Like, you know how they take away certain prompts, they don't allow you to talk about certain things, almost like they're hiding knowledge in a way. I mean, it's not, because sometimes it's wrong, but still, they're so afraid of the thing to be wrong that they're ruining the entire benefit of having it. But that's another tangent. What I wanted to talk about actually was about how AI can affect humanity, ironically, in a positive way, but in a weird way that is positive. So you might be asking, well, what do you mean? Well, in the Econ Talk podcast, they're talking about how AI has perfected, like, the genericism of humanity in a way, like ChatGPT. Like, the writing it does is perfect. It's really, really good, but it's, like, really generic. It's algorithmic. So, like, for example, say if you ask it to write a story, a children's story, it's a good story, but it's soulless in a way. Like, it's a really generic retelling of a story. Or say if you ask it to write an essay on something, it's a really generic essay, you know? Like, it's a good essay. Like, you would get an A on it. Like, if the teacher did not know you're using ChatGPT, you would get an A on it. But in the same way, teachers have been saying that they can sometimes kind of realize if a student is using ChatGPT because of how generic it is. Like, it's so perfect that a student couldn't possibly write it. And they're talking about how in AI, they've been trained on basically everything of humanity. So, like, essays, writing, you can even say movie making, a lot of things, music, all these things that, you know, are slowly being taken by AI. You know, art is being taken by AI. Writing in general, taken by AI. Music is now being taken over a little bit by AI. But the thing is, the reason why AI is so good at this stuff is because of how algorithmic we've become in these certain things. Like, say, writing an essay. Writing an essay has become, you know, this thing that we're taught that is so step by step that it, if you really think about it, it makes sense that an AI is able to perfect it. Like, for example, you know, you have to start with an introduction. When you start with an introduction, you start with, like, these type of sentences. Every sentence, if you have four sentences or so, it turns into a paragraph. The next, you transition to the middle. The middle, you give your arguments. Make sure you have around three. You do three arguments. This. And, you know, the argument, blah, 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 blah. And then you transition to your conclusion. You go over your arguments in a summary. And then you conclude with a, basically a round off kind of sentence. But every essay is in that format. Like, teachers have taught you, do not stray off of this outline that we've created for you, or you're not going to get a good grade. This algorithm that you have to do. Same happens with music. Like, you could argue music, in a way, the music that has become kind of popular or whatever, is an algorithm. Like, You start with the hook or whatever. You end with the chorus. You do a little chorus, and then you go with the next hook, blah, 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 blah. Like, I mean, I'm not explaining it well, but basically everything in our life has become really, really algorithmic. Movies, I mean, that's a perfect example, how people say the movie industry has changed where it has less soul. We see, like, these Marvel movies or superhero movies, like, it's an algorithm of, like, how, like, there's these steps that you have to do to make a movie. Like, oh, you gotta make sure the hero is kind of witty, but kind of funny, but kind of serious. Like, you know, all these little things that every kind of superhero movie makes sure to hit these marks. Boom, 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 boom. So, it makes sense that these AI could, because everything has the same order, there's no kind of, like, it's become to a point where there's not really too much creativity because it's too risky for us right now to do something creative, because the big risk is that you do it in a wrong way and then you make less money or you get a bad grade, whatever, whatever. So people are afraid to have more creative outlook. Like, let's say college essays. A college essay to get accepted to a school. You know, the typical bullcrap, like, humble brags that people are going to do in that college essay. I bet you if you look through all the essays, they're all the same type of humble brags, because people are afraid, like, oh, let's say, what is something you would change in the world? Everyone's going to pick, oh, I would do world peace or end world hunger or cure cancer. Like, no one, like, even though the not saying those are bad things to pick, but everyone picks those. No one's going to be say something like, oh, if I could change the world, I would change it where all people live in one city instead of spread apart across the world. Like, that would seem a little, it's creative. It's a little interesting. Like, you could probably create a really cool essay about that. But it would be too risky, because you'd be like, oh, is that a little too out there? So you go right back to the more algorithmic type of, like, default pickings, those averages. So the average writing has all conformed into this one little blob that basically AI can see, train itself on, and become perfect at. So now we created something that is perfect at this generic writing, at this algorithmic writing or algorithmic music making or algorithmic speaking, for example, like how you can take someone's voice, you know, because, like, say something like Steve Jobs, like the way he does his speeches has created echoes where now every single keynote is all the same way. They all stared and, like, we have created something amazing, something that is unbelievable, and I think you're going to love it. There's something, you know, bullcrap that, you know, all tech has created this, like, we're going to follow the steps of Steve Jobs. So now you have an AI, it can easily make it sound like it's a tech keynote and have an AI voice that sounds like a tech keynote, because, you know, everyone say no one's going to be doing these high and up while they're talking. It's going to be a steady monotone because it's easier to understand, blah, 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 blah. Basically, what I'm saying, all this crap that I'm saying, is that AI is able to easily copy it because it lacks that kind of oomph. So basically, what the econ talk was saying was that this could lead to this type of writing being seen as a negative, actually. Like, let's say now that ChatGPT is out, let's just skip a year or two. Everyone knows that everyone's going to use ChatGPT. Like, if you're not dumb, you're going to use it, at least to look over your essay. Like, look, you're doing a college essay? Like, what the heck? Why would you not use it in some way? Even if you're not, like, fully cheating using it and you're just using it for idea making or to look over your essay or whatever, like, everyone's going to use it, and it would benefit you to use it. However, since everyone's using it, now it's not an interesting thing to have a perfect essay. Everyone has a perfect essay if they're smart. They're going to be using ChatGPT. So in the end, what makes this a positive thing is that it kind of reverts everything. So basically, now a person who picks these far out ideas, they're going to stand out more. They're going to stand out like crazy. It's going to be a shining beacon. Say the person who says, oh, if I could change one thing in the world, I would make everyone live in one spot. And, like, in a really casual, kind of almost funny tone, something ChatGPT would never do for an essay. If you said it was a college essay, it would be really formal, the way you're supposed to do it. But if you did it in a non-formal, casual way, now you stand out. Now you're the one odd guy out, and you're like, whoa, I had not seen something like this in ever. Like, oh, in a long time. Like, this guy's interesting. This is an interesting way of telling it. So now, basically what I'm saying is, this ChatGPT, ironically, it might lead to a creative revolution in art, in writing, in music, in everything. Because now, those people are going to stand out, and it will benefit you to write in this way, like in a creative or less generic type of way. So, basically, I find that quite interesting. Super interesting, actually. Because this, with all the issues that people have been having with a lot of things, might be solved. Like, the people who will be pissed the most are the people who were the masters at this formulaic writing. Like, let's say even something simple as math. In the past, math probably wasn't that hard for the people like us. Like us now, we could do the math from the far past easily. Like really easy, because we have calculators. But before, maybe those people, you know, you had to use those, whatever those freaking things are called. Like, you have to be really good at adding and multiplying really quickly, blah, 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 blah. Like, these are these little algorithmic things that you had to just be good at. You had to be like a robot to, you know, get right. And then now, say the calculator came out, boom. Now everyone who was able to do that type of stuff, you know, they became kind of useless in a way. Now it kind of democratized the math, where now you don't have to really, really be careful with your adding and multiplying and blah, 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 or be really good at whatever that freaking thing is called. Now you got a calculator to do that crap for you. It's easy now. But now, say with the calculator led to a revolution of math. Now people are doing even more intense type of math. Because that's that part that's been done for them. That generic algorithmic part is already done for them. But now it leads to the next thing. Some people were just really, really good at calculators or whatever. They're, you know, adding real quickly. They could type real fast. Blah, blah, blah. They're really good at doing the formulas of this, that. And then all of a sudden the computer came out. So now these people in the past who were the computing experts, like mental computing experts using calculators real fast and da da da, they became useless. Why? I don't know if that's how the history is. Maybe I have to look up. I'm pretty sure the calculator came before the computer, right? Or they didn't come at the same time. But still, let's just say the computer came out and boom, now these people who were really good at that stuff, boom, they're useless now. Now it democratizes even more. Now people barely even have to use the calculator. They can just, you know, type a formula into the computer. But then, boom, now there are these computer experts who are just really good at, say, knowing how Excel works. They're really good at knowing how to code these formulaic, algorithmic type of thinking. But then, saying right now, we're in this point where now AI can do all that crap. This boring stuff, now it can do it easily. Like the simple code, the simple Excel stuff, the stuff that, like, You just had to know, you just had to study, remember, memorize all this crap just so you could do the thing you actually wanted to do. But now that's democratized. So now, boom, the next creative revolution, say in math or coding or whatever, is potentially going to happen, where now people have to become even more creative in their way, or use that technology to become more creative in their way, which might lead to even more stuff. So let's say, for example, an obvious thing, AI art. You are a person who wasn't really a good artist before. You just weren't really good at drawing, you know, using your hand. You didn't have the right motor skills. You just weren't good at it, and you just didn't have the patience to learn how to draw. Then the computer art came out, so it made it a little bit easier. But let's say it's still a little, you know, a little boring. You just didn't have the patience to learn that. So there's still now this creative buffer, but it was democratized a little bit by the computer, because now you don't have to, you know, actually learn like all this crap with paint. And now the next democratization, now the AI art does that part for you. So now all you have to do is do an idea, just have an idea, and something will be drawn out for you. Which could lead to crazy stuff, could lead to bad stuff, but basically that algorithmic part of it, the thing that basically made those people like kind of robotic, but oh yeah, I can just think something and then I can move my hand in a way to draw it. Now that's been democratized. Now the AI does it. So now what makes you stand out, who cares about, oh, you're good at drawing now. That's not going to make you stand out anymore. Now it's what's actually being drawn that will make you stand out. Same with the essay writing. Some people are just really good at picking out words. They can just pick the right adjectives. They can make beautiful simile, and just, they knew the vocab, so they sounded smart, even though they're saying a bunch of nothing. But they had that part down. So, you know, they were the masters. But now, same with this AI writer with the essays. Now, you don't have to know how to write. You still need to know what to write, though. Like, that creative part is still very important. But you don't need to know how to write it, if that makes sense. The creativity is still very important. So it's been democratized. Now people who don't know how to write at all can write something, write a beautiful essay. Let's say something stupid, like, no one would have thought to make an essay about how hot dogs are simile for a ladder, and how a ladder is like the bun of the climber, or something stupid. But let's say now it's like, oh man, I don't know how to make that work, but I know it could be such a deep essay. But now you just, you know, the AI can do that boring crap for you. You can have the main idea and have the AI do the boring crap, the algorithmic part. So that creativity is now what makes you stand out. And I think that's a good thing. I think it's a great thing. Like, let's say a movie. Some directors or whatever, they might be afraid to write certain movies or to release certain movies because they might not know how to make it work for a modern audience. So let's say it's something like classic movie, a mafia film, but we want to make it a mafia film, but say people like superhero movies. So let's say it's a superhero Godfather or something. Oh man, how do you make that work? That would be stupid. Like, it could have been a super amazing movie, just a funny, unique movie that could have been a movie of the year, but they don't trust it, or a little scared to do it. But two sides of the coin. It could be one, now with this AI, they can have it right. They can have these main ideas and have the creative juices going, and then have the AI do the boring parts, but make the boring parts in a modern audience taste. Or the flip side, which a part I forgot to even mention. Now, let's say those directors are just, they just don't want to do it. But now, because it's become more democratized, normal people can make that story if they want to. Now they can make it. They can be like, okay, screw you guys, I will make the story because I have an AI movie maker. And the AI movie maker is going to make the movie for me. I just got to type the idea. And boom, now that movie that might have never existed before now exists. So I think, personally, just like what the calculator did, just like what the computer did for stuff, just like how the phone did for stuff, this next evolution of AI learning or whatever, or like when we progress more and more and more, I think it will lead to more creative projects and better things coming out, to be honest. Now that AI is, hopefully with other companies, so I mean, I don't want it to be OpenAI or Microsoft or Google or Apple or Facebook. That would be bad. That would be very, very bad. I have some opinions about that step. I don't know if I should do it in this podcast or make a separate podcast. But, man, because they are so strict with what you say or what can be written or what can be drawn. Like, it's actually insane. It's like, it's so restrictive that it's, at some point, it's not even worth it. Which makes you think, like, what the heck? Like, what is this for? It's just for to be a quicker search engine? They have that tech, and they decide not to use it. It's weird. But yeah, basically, more of the story, it's going to be a good thing, I think. I mean, jobs, now that's the one issue, is the jobs will be lost. And if we're still in this type of thinking that we are now, it won't get any better, because it makes no sense to me. I mean, I probably need to do a podcast about that. Because it makes no sense that you can have things take away jobs and automate the jobs, but then things do not get cheaper, and there are no, like, repercussions. Like, there's no thought process about the things that will be lost. Like, let's say if driverless trucks came out, no one's going to care. Like, the people who do the driverless stuff, they're just going to be like, okay, driverless trucks are out. Nice. We can fire 90% of our workforce. They fire 90% of their workforce. Let's say 100,000 people are out of jobs now. Yeah, go find another. Now there's 100,000 people trying to find a job, and Then, not only that, but the company, they save money because now they don't have to pay workers and they can have these robot trucks driving 24/7. But the price of goods would be the exact same price they were before when they were hiring all these workers. And then, like, you know, the working hours would be 12 hours. Like, it would be the same exact price. It makes no sense. Like, if you're going to do this, the prices should go down. Why are the prices staying the same or if not higher? Like that greed has ruined things. All you can hope is for a collapse. But I'll talk about that later. That's the end of that podcast. See you.